So, for something interesting, now we have Kantorkel presenting, and he discovered a lot of interesting biometric stuff on the internet that got there somehow. And today he's going to show us a journey through boring telco data leaks. Kantorkel, take it on.
Thank you. Who am I? Let's make this slide move forward. In the past, I looked into data leaks, and I continue to do so until today. I found these biometrics devices on eBay, and they included some information from the Department of Defense, including biometric data. And in the past year, my team and I were diving into the criminal infrastructure that controlled over 70K fake shops on the internet. Today, we talk about telco-related data leaks that are technically boring. You will see why in a minute. But they still have some impact, so I decided to submit this presentation. It all started with a leak like this. That's a .git folder exposed on a web server. This leak belongs to these fake shops, and you can see that it's, well, the config file of a Git repository. Here in the remote origin, you also see credentials that would allow me to log into the Bitbucket and take over this repository. And these .git folders are interesting because it happens all the time, even to bigger companies like Deutsche Telekom. And because of the known structure of .git folders, you can pretty much clone the repository. Sometimes you're not able to download the full repository, only partial, but still you can read some of the files that are exposed. And these files include interesting information at times. So here you can see the SHA-1 hash of the file that is stored in the Git repo. And I could now download the object in order to read the config of the file with the name config/database.php. And too often, this database.php, for example, includes database credentials. Then there is a even more stupid, more simple kind of leak. Some people expose their .env files, and in this case, the Deutsche Telekom again exposed some credentials for a Salesforce API that would allow me to see some HR-related data. This was reported and fixed. Most other leaks that I will show you were fixed as well, except two of them. Let's dive into that. So the first more interesting leak is by this company, Leica Mobile. They sell cheap mobile plans. You can get SIMs, eSIMs, and surprise, surprise, they were exposing a .git file folder, including the config. No credentials here, but still you can download the whole repository. And that was interesting because this repository includes interesting files like AUS, Australia, ProtDB SQL, DB Spain New SQL, Denmark DB, Leica GDPR, Spain Prot, and UK ProtDB SQL. And this repository is really weird because there's a ton of branches. Here's a small selection of these branches in this repository, like 2.0 Spain or FreeSIM Germany stage. Delete API or Leica Prot Germany. And if you would check out this branch, there would be completely different topic. It's not just one or two commits. It's like they're using this repository to store lots of different things. One branch is interesting because it includes this folder, an API version 1 folder. You can see, well, many telco-related functions like activate sim.php, call call history, PHP subscriber details, swap sim PHP, some subfolders for different countries, and one file named complycube-webhook.php. ComplyCube is an identity verification service. So in some jurisdictions, telco providers have to verify that a person buying a SIM card is the person they pretend to be. In order to do that, some force you to upload your ID card. The problem is I found the API key and I can access passports uploaded through Leica Mobile to this identity verification service. Sadly, Leica is one of the companies that never replied to my requests. I'm also friends with their CISO on LinkedIn, but he ignored my messages. This particular repository is not online anymore, or they moved to another location. But if you search for Leica-related.git repositories, you will find some, and it might be interesting to dive into that. But yeah, let's try to get a physical SIM card, then we will try to order some phones, and last we will talk about eSIMs. But first, SIM cards. This is about Variatel. That's a virtual mobile network operator from Germany. That means they do not run their own telco infrastructure. They rely on Deutsche Telekom. And they were exposing a .git folder. No credentials here, but still you can download the source code and you will see some APIs. Luckily, there are no credentials in these PHP files. However, there were references to another IP. And on this IP address, you could find the .env file with some interesting credentials. And we will talk about three of these. First, there's something called mobile.com API something. Then SFTP credentials and a destination path that that is prod telecom files. And last, some Postgres database credentials. First, we have another digital identity verification service. We have something that is called API username, API password, but the same credentials work on the usual front end, so you could just log in and see all the verification processes. And that was interesting because it's not just 13K, it's something, it's not a major telco, but some data. And you would see lots of rejections. Here, for example, you can see the ID card, a German ID card, and the name is not matching the name that was provided to the telco. So the name, the first name starts with an N on the ID card, and the name provided to Leica, not Leica, Variatel, starts with an A. 24 minutes later, they tried again. They provided the correct, the matching name, and then verification was, they say, activated, and this person was probably then able to use their SIM card. In the back end, you saw many ID cards that looked somehow not real. So if you want an anonymous SIM card, Variatel might be the place to go. Second, we have these SFTP credentials. Of course, they worked and they provide access to an SFTP server with CDR, call detail records data. These CDR data are often or usually CSV files, and they include very interesting information because they show who was talking to whom for how long. So they include the calling and the called party, the number, the call start time and the duration, the subscriber identity number, the number of the SIM card, and the service type, like was that a phone call or an SMS or some data-related action. And you would also see other billing information, and this was probably exchanged with Deutsche Telekom for billing purchases between Variatel and Deutsche Telekom. Last, the Postgres credentials worked on a Postgres server that was exposed on the internet. You would find all kinds of tables, including tables with customer data, first name, last name, address, sometimes the email address. But you would also see the SIM inventory with all the details like PIN, PUC, IMSI, SIM card ID, and so on. And as a bonus, I could prove that I was not the first person to visit the service. Someone else was there and made a voluntary backup of the data and offered a copy against Bitcoin. Variatel is the second company that never replied to me. I reported this issue to the German data protection officer. They replied, but I don't know if there was any follow-up. To my knowledge, the customers were never informed that there was a major data leak. Next, we try to get a phone. There's this device as a service by TK Deutschland, TKD, and they were exposing a Git repository, and they made several mistakes. First, an internal portal was exposed on the internet, then they exposed the .git folder, and the source code allowed me to find a SQL injection. In the database, there were MD5 hashes of weak passwords, so it was fairly easy to get the clear text password. There was no 2FA. And so I had access to the backend. That's an order management system. The problem is I saw some, let's say, more sensitive company names, so I didn't dig much deeper and reported it. They quickly fixed it, and I moved on. So let's have a look at this service that is more targeted at normal end users. This is handystar.de. I never heard of them before. They run a TV channel that you can receive via satellite or on the internet, and all they do is selling mobile contracts. They were exposing a .git folder, and it's very much the same problem. So I gained access to the source code. There was an SQL injection. I gained access to a database with MD5 hashes. The passwords were even more simple, no 2FA, and I gained access to this TV order management system. And after logging in, I was a little bit shocked because it looks like this website is very old. There are some menu points for client management. You can manage the products, you can see statistics, and of course you would see all the personal data of the clients, the order history. You could upload a CSV with prices. I didn't try that. And as a bonus, you can download the voice logs of people who called the hotline and said, yeah, sure, you can record this call. And yeah. So I was able to listen to some random people calling this company in order to order a phone. For a couple of days, you couldn't order on via hotline. They have the stream, and they said, because of technical problems, you can currently only order online. And they even asked this lawyers from Taylor Wessing if they should notify their clients. And the lawyer said, no, you don't need to. So they didn't, I guess. Last, we try to get some eSIMs. eSIMs are interesting because SIM cards are a physical item. You have to chip them, and you can get an eSIM via the internet. So it's much more interesting to play around with eSIMs. And you could combine eSIMs with some software we wrote for this 4G router a few years ago. This 4G router is very nice because you can change the hardware address, the IMEI, of this device by sending a simple command. And if you combine that with some fancy eSIM stuff, you would be able to rotate the SIM card ID frequently while also rotating the hardware ID. Sadly, this router does not support eSIMs yet, but you can buy a eSIM.me SIM card that is a SIM card which is able to control several eSIMs. Same story again. They were leaking source code. This was also a weird repository because they have this bunch of index.php files, and I bailed out after seeing this working SSH root passwords. I didn't dig deeper. That's a problem. There's another way to gain access. I was in a staging backend of this, they say, green provider in Germany, also a virtual provider. They were using, or probably more their service provider, was using a Symfony Profiler, which is a nice tool because it stores all the data that is entered into form fields. So you can just search for login, for example, and post requests, and it will show you the requests where people logged in. And often this also includes clear text username, password combination. And there's also the tab server parameters where you would see basically the .env information, for example, the database string. So you can use this data to log in the staging environment, and on the staging environment, you often find at least few working contracts. And if I would be the first to open this page, I could probably also see the eSIM QR code in order to configure it. But here, in this case, I was not the first. It's only the staging environment, so there's a lack of orders, a lack of data I could use. So we moved on to reisesim.de, translates to travel sim. They were exposing a .git folder, and they are not a provider themselves, but for some eSIMs, they rely on this third party called Airalo, and the config in this Git repository includes access tokens for the Airalo API, so I was able to check past orders. I probably would have been able to also create new orders, and then I can open a website or just look into a JSON object in order to get all the eSIM information. Here's an eSIM for Lebanon, 1 GB, 7 days, and also the QR code that is not protected, so I could have installed this eSIM. That was a very short, fast journey through 8 data leaks. Sadly, .git folders remain a very rich source of personal data. I personally like the eSIM ecosystem very much because it opens new opportunities, and you no longer have to rely on very few big telcos that are hopefully better protected. You can just look into a random service provider that uses some APIs, exposes API keys, and you could get, let's say, anonymous SIM cards. So I have a few tips what people should not do. They should not expose portals that could remain internal. Please do not put .dot files or folders into your www root. It's also not the best idea to manage clear text secrets in Git. There are better tools for this. Often API tokens were overprivileged. People copied prod data to staging environments. Some people shared even internal communication with me during the disclosure process, like this guy here, you can find this guy on YouTube, and this is the internal Taylor Wessing assessment some lawyers did, and so on. And last, they shouldn't assume that I was the only visitor, because all these leaks are very easy to find. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Kantorkel. Perfectly on time. So we have 5 minutes for questions and answers. Mike is here, Mike is in the back. Any questions? If there is even something to question about that, because I mean, basically. How bad can it be? I mean, how stupid can people be? I mean, I guess that was okay. I mean, in the beginning, when we were all just hosting our little websites on the internet, but it seems that even in serious areas, seemingly serious areas where money and everything else is involved, the standards have apparently not gotten better everywhere. So yeah, maybe turn that into a question. Do you think some of the newer legislation would kind of being able to change that? Because I mean, for the possible publishing of person-related information, which has to be announced to German authorities in Germany by GDPR, and apparently they said, no, it's fine.
But probably not. I mean, the telco ecosystem is already heavily regulated, and I reported most of these issues to the company and the responsible data protection authority, sometimes also to the German Bundesnetzagentur, and nothing happened. Some of the leaks are still open, so there is regulation that is not fully enforced, and first authorities should maybe do this. Companies should be more transparent when it comes to leaks like that, and yeah.
Okay, but so you reported also the findings you had to the authorities, okay.
Yep.
And then they thought, pfft. Okay, yeah, nice. Oh, there's another question.
Yeah, my question would be, did you get some money from it, from reporting the issues? Or?
No, that was, I don't know if everyone could hear the question. The question is if I received any money for doing this. No, I did that mostly in my free time, and I'm just doing it for the fun and not profit.
Thank you.
Okay, more questions? No, apparently not. Then give a big hand for Kantorkel.